We are turning in God's Word to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, we want to take a verse here as our gospel text tonight. We'll read the psalm together first of all, then pray, and then we want to leave a verse before you that I trust will be of instruction, of blessing to God's people, and it will be a word in season for those who are not yet saved. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be thou not as the horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful to be in the house of God this evening. We thank thee for the joy, Lord, even in the hymns we've been singing, hymns of confidence in the finished work of a Saviour. Thank thee, Lord, for those messages in song that our dear sister has brought to us, and Lord, how they've thrilled our hearts and how we've known thy presence. And, O Lord, now as we come to the closing moments of this gathering, we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt speak with thy voice. O Lord, with that still, small voice, with that voice that wakes the dead, with that voice, Lord, that called creation into being. O Lord, with that voice that speaks pardon to those who will call upon thy name. Lord, we pray tonight that souls will consider how they stand before a holy God. And if they are not ready, prepared to meet him, if they are not saved by his grace and washed in his blood, that this night would be the night of their salvation. O Lord, I pray that thou wilt empty me of self and sin tonight. Fill me with thy spirit and give me help in the delivery of the word of God. May it be to thy glory, to the advancement of thy kingdom, to the edification of thy people. For it's in Jesus' precious and worthy name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Verse number one is our text for tonight. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The word blessed is an interesting word. In the original Hebrew, it means happinesses, happinesses as a plural word. It has the idea of receiving a blessing that brings joy and appreciation to the heart of the one who has received it. And you know, the fall has caused man to be born in sin. And the reality is that we are blessed, richly blessed, if you're sitting here tonight in God's house, in your right mind, with some measure of health, you are greatly blessed. But how often we fail to give thanks to the Lord for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. I have three simple thoughts tonight that I want to leave upon this verse. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The first thought is this. There are some things that people think would be a great blessing, but they prove not to be. Some things that people think are a great blessing, and if I had that, it would be wonderful. I'd be happy. I'd be content. I'd be sorted. But they do not always prove to be. There's two things I'm thinking of in particular. First of all, great sums of wealth. And many people in this world believe if I just had more money, in fact, if I had as much money as I possibly could have, then I would be happy. I would be truly blessed. And that's what we think, don't we? Even Christians can fall into that trap. The more money I have, then the more blessed I am. I was reading this week about a woman who won millions of pounds in the lottery at the age of 19. And she said these words, 10 years after it. I wish this had never happened. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. You might say, well, you could wish it on me. But you know, throughout that time, when she had that money, she was pestered with people trying to get it off her. She was threatened with kidnap if she didn't give a certain amount of money. She was worried and fearful. She didn't know who she could trust. She had all the money in the world, but no confidence in any person. You see, money doesn't bring happiness. Money doesn't bring contentment. Money does bring a lot of things that we can buy. But I'll tell you, money cannot bring peace into your heart. The writer of Proverbs prayed about his finances, and if you just want to hold your place there and turn over to Proverbs 30, and I mentioned this morning in the message, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. And Agur is writing here, and he says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove from me vanity and lies. He wanted truth. He wanted truth. And there's many in this world love the lies and the emptiness of this world. Better to have truth. Better to have God's truth than the lies of this world. And then he said, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And he didn't want to be so rich that he would have no dependence upon the Lord. But neither did he wish to be so poor that he would have to do that which was wrong in by the law of God. And therefore, he was praying that the Lord would give him what he needed. Is that not the command of Scripture? Give us this day our daily bread. We think of the words of Matthew Henry, the commentator, and he says, he is much happier that is always content, though we have ever so little, than he that is always coveting, though he has ever so much. The covetous man can't get enough, but the content man is blessed with what he has. Godliness with contentment is great gain. A second thing some people believe that will bring them great blessing is position or fame. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was doing an assembly in a primary school, and the theme was crowns. And I was talking about the crown that was placed on the head of the king and the queen at the coronation. And we were discussing about the crown, and then we talked about the crown of thorns that the Lord wore and how he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But just in my introduction, I was asking them some questions about the royal family, and I said, who here would like to be in the royal family? Who would like to have all those servants and all of that wealth and all of those opportunities? Who would like to be? And this wee boy, about 10 years old, put up his hand and he said, I wouldn't like it. All that publicity, no privacy at all, people following you, taking photos. There's a young man with his head screwed on. He understood that fame and position is not all it's cracked up to be. People are striving after that. And what happens when they get worldwide fame? Then they've issues with anxiety. They've issues with trusting people. Again, the press are after them. And there's many people think, if I get a position, or if I'm famous and well-known and applauded and lauded by this world, I will be happy. You see, friend, there's things in this world that the flesh and the natural man would say, that will make me happy. But we must come to the Word of God and view them in light of God's truth and God's Word and realize that not everything a man desires will make him happy. The second thought is this tonight. Every single person in this meeting is richly blessed. Every single person is blessed. We have a measure of health tonight. That is the blessing of the Lord. We have food in our cupboards. That's the blessing of the Lord. We have sound minds. We have some finances. That's the blessing of the Lord. We have a home to go to tonight. We have a bed to sleep in. We have family and friends we can rely on and many, many other ways. I could say to you, tell me a blessing that you received today, and every single person in this gathering could stand up and tell me one of their blessings. Dear old man, coming near the end of his life, recently said to me, if you can get up in the morning and out of bed and dress yourself, you're richly blessed. And so we are. You know, the Lord has blessed all his creation. The Lord has blessed all the people on the face of this earth. If your heart is beating tonight, the Lord's blessing you. If there's breath in your lungs, the Lord is blessing you. And the Bible says, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And maybe you're in this meeting tonight, and you're a sinner, and you never come before the Lord even to thank him for his blessings, never mind confess your sin and call upon him for mercy. Do you realize that the fact you're here tonight is a blessing of God? God is the source of all blessing, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Whatever blessings are in your life tonight, that's the blessing of the Lord. The very first mention of that word blessed in Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 1. And it's always important to see the first mention of a particular word in Scripture. And it's very significant because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, after the Lord had created the animals, it says here, God blessed them. The blessing, even upon the very animals, was from the Lord. But whenever we come to verse number 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. You see, blessing is from the Lord. Do you realize the very friendships you have, that's a blessing of the Lord? If someone's encouraged you, that's a blessing of the Lord. If you've heard a message that stirred your soul, that's a blessing of the Lord. God blesses. He is a God that blesses. And he would bless every sinner in this meeting tonight with his salvation if you will turn from your sin and call upon him. The Lord is able to bless you tonight. The Lord is able to save you. The Lord is able to deliver you. And you know, in Romans, it tells us that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And how wicked it is for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to go through life taking the health that God gives them, the breath, the heartbeat, the money, the mind, the abilities, the talents, the blessings, and you simply use it to sin against him more and more. And more. I tell you, if you take time to think about the goodness of God, it ought to lead you to repentance. And that is why the devil wants that book closed in your life. That's why there's a struggle to go out to church. That's why there's a struggle to read the Bible. That's why there's a struggle whenever people start to talk about spiritual things, because the devil doesn't want you to think about the goodness of God. What are the unsaved? What's the world often saying? How unfair God is. That's nonsense. Read the book. Read the book. It's the mercy of God that every single one of us weren't cast into hell. God is merciful. God is a God who blesses, and he calls men and women, boys and girls, to repentance. Thirdly, there is a greater blessing than all the other blessings that we have mentioned. And this brings us to our verse tonight. There is a greater blessing. It says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, let's think about the words in this verse. The word transgression, what does that mean? In the original, it means sin, rebellion, and trespass. The word sin in the verse means an offense. So we put those two things together. We can say our transgression is rebellion against our Creator. It is doing what he does not want us to do. It is doing the opposite of what he calls us to do. It is sin that separates us from a holy God. And remember this, sinner. Remember this, your sin offends God. And because God is holy and God is just and God is true, he must deal with your sin. Your sin will be dealt with. The sin of all people will be dealt with in one of two ways. They will either suffer in hell an eternal punishment, or it will be dealt with in the punishment of Christ on your behalf at Calvary. And for those in this gathering who will repent from their sin and call upon the Lord to save them, you will know the joy of your sins being dealt with. Now, how does God deal with our sin? We'll come back to the verse. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." The word forgiven is a wonderful word. And the Hebrew is so expressive. When you go back to the original, it's such a pictorial language. Do you know what the word means in its most basic form? It means lifted. How can a man or a woman have their sins forgiven? It can only be done when the Lord lifts the burden of their sin. When the Lord lifts the guilt and the shame off of them and off their record. The word forgiven can also mean arise. And whenever a man or a woman is forgiven, they can rise up in the strength of the Lord and live for the Lord. They who were dead in trespasses and sins are made alive, they're quickened in Christ, and they can live for him. The word also means to be accepted. And whenever you're forgiven by the Lord, you're accepted as a member of that family. The word also means carried away, and that's what forgiveness is. It's to have your sins carried away. It also means pardoned, and that's what forgiveness is. It is God pardoning your sin. What a wonderful way, or what a wonderful word tonight to be able to share with sinners in this meeting. Your sin can be forgiven. It can be lifted. It can be carried away. It can be pardoned. God can accept you tonight. You can arise in new life tonight. It also says that the sin is covered. The word covered, it means concealed so that it can't be seen. Concealed that it can't be seen. Now, there are people in this world, and they try to cover their sin and their shame by their own works. We see a picture of that in the Garden of Eden, whenever Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. But that covering was not sufficient. It did not cover their sin. And there are people today, they go to church hoping that that will deal with their sin. Some are baptized hoping, well, that'll deal with my sin. Some come to the Lord's table, that'll deal with my sin. But nothing that you can do can cover your sin. In fact, in Proverbs 28:13, we read these words, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." And you might think you've gotten away with your sin, but there's coming a day whenever you will stand before a holy God who knows all things, even the things you've forgotten, and your sin will be before you. And God will recount your sin, and you will be punished and sentenced for your sin. So if you can't cover your sin, who can? He can. This verse says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And if you come to the Lord tonight saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know my sin deserves your eternal punishment in hell, but I thank you for sending your son to die on the cross of Calvary for me. And I pray that he will come and save me, that he will come into my life, that he will cover my sin, and that he will forgive my transgression." The promise of Scripture is, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And what I simply want to do in the remainder of this time is just say a few things about this blessing of sins forgiven, transgressions forgiven, and sins covered. This work that only God can do. No minister can do it. No priest can do it. Only God can forgive. Only God can cover with the precious blood that Christ shed on Calvary. This is a blessing that is eternal. You see, all the other blessings we mentioned tonight were temporal. And the greatest of blessings will either cease, feel, or be left behind. Your mind, your health, your finances. They will either cease, feel, or be left behind. But the salvation that God gives, this blessing, the blessing of blessings, the ultimate blessing that you can ever have, this is not just for time, but it's also for all eternity. No one can take away this blessing of the joy of sins forgiven. No one can take away the truth that God declares you to be just in his sight because of the work of Christ. Not only that, it's a blessing that deals with your greatest problem. And sin, my friend, is your greatest problem tonight. Because sin is repulsive to God. It damns your soul. It is the delight of hell to see a person bound in the chains of sin. And if you die in your sin, you will be found in hell. And I want to tell you, after you die, there is no way for your sin to be dealt with. There is no gospel appeal in hell. There is no mission held for your soul. There is no hope even in the Lord. Because if you die without Christ, you will be in eternity without Christ. And after you die, it's too late to have your sins dealt with. There are people living today in this world as if they're never going to die. Now, you and I know what it is to drive out on the roads. And someone fly out from behind you at 90 miles an hour, overtaking several cars on a very dangerous bend. Why are they doing that? Why would some... They just assume they'll never die. We see people who are putting money away every week or every month for a pension, and they're planning for retirement. Why? They're assuming they'll never die, or they're certainly assuming they'll get to old age before they die. And many people are prepared to live, but few are prepared to die. Take a look at the graveyard on your way out tonight. You don't need to be old to die. Nor do you need to be sick to die. This is the most important matter you will address in your lifetime, dear friend. Before you leave this meeting tonight, you need to be sure your sins are forgiven and that they're covered by the blood. It is also a blessing that Christ has personally purchased for sinners. The forgiveness and covering of your sin is a matter that Christ himself has taken a personal interest in, such to the degree that he came from glory to go to Calvary, and he did that work for sinners. We who deserved hell, we who deserved the wrath and the punishment of God, and on earth he called the people to follow me. He called them to come unto me, and still today he's calling sinners to repent and to believe the gospel. He's an interest in your life, dear sinner. Oh, the world might say that nobody cares. The devil might say to you, your life's not worth living, you'd be better off dead. No, Christ has an interest in your life tonight. He can save you. He has made provision for your salvation to be sure, for you to know that you're sure you're saved and you have a peace even in the face of death. I want to say this blessing that we read of in this verse tonight is a blessing that is free to all. You must come to Christ tonight just as you are. There's nothing you can lay before him tonight other than the life of sin that is in your record. You can only leave the fragments of a life of sin, and that's exactly what you need to leave before the Lord tonight. You cannot buy your salvation, not if you gain the whole world. You cannot earn your salvation should you try and serve the Lord in some capacity all through your life and all through eternity. But listen to these words. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The simplicity in the gospel. What is the Lord saying? That if you come and receive this gift of eternal life, it will be given to you. The Lord's offering you life tonight. He's offering you freedom. He's offering you salvation. He's offering you heaven. He's offering you peace. What is standing between you and the Lord? What is stopping you saying, Lord, I want this life. I want your salvation. Forgive me, cleanse me, save me. But all you have to do tonight is call. We're not asking you to join the church tonight. We're not asking you to join a denomination. We're asking you to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross of Calvary for your salvation. This is a blessing that's available right now. You can enter into this blessing right now, right this very moment. You do not have to wait until this meeting's over. You do not have to wait until the final amen has been said. Bow your head. Call upon the Lord out of your heart. Lord, save me now. He can save you in this very moment. Why would you wait a minute longer? Sinner, why are you going to wait any longer to call upon the name of the Lord? What is there to gain with another hour in sin? What is there to gain in walking closer to hell? I remember telling another minister that a man had taken ill in a service I was preaching at years ago. And I was in the middle of the preaching. This man took ill. The service had to be closed. The ambulance had to be called, and there was medical attention given. And the people in that service were visibly shaken. And the minister looked at me and he smiled. He said, "Well, I can tell you better than that." He said, "I was preaching one Sunday morning in my congregation and a man died in the pew. He walked into God's house and he died in the pew. We had to stop the service. And we called an ambulance, but he was gone. We called the police. Sitting in God's house, he was called into eternity." Why do I tell you that? Because there's not one of us of any guarantee that we've another minute upon this earth. There's not one of us tonight can say, "I'll wait till after the meeting, and I know for sure I'll have the opportunity to call." Are you ready should the Lord come, or should the Lord call you? Friend, this blessing will give you an entrance into heaven. It's the only way. This blessing will give you peace with God, because that peace is made through the blood of the cross. And this blessing will give you hope in death. But consider the one. Consider the one who does not have this blessing. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." But what would the opposite of a blessing be? Cursed. Dear man, dear woman, you're cursed tonight. Because your transgression is before the Lord and your sin is exposed to him. And if you will not turn from your sin, if you will not call upon the Lord, there's no hope for you. I have no message of hope for you, only damnation. But for those who will turn and for those who will call, there is a blessing. The very first mention of the word blessed was found in Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to finally turn with me to the very last chapter of the Word of God in Revelation chapter 22. And here we have the final mention of the word blessed. And in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14, listen to the Word of God. Listen to the final message that God has recorded in this book. What does it say in verse 14? "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter in through the gates into the city." Only those who obey the call of God. What's the commandments of God? Repent and be converted. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the message of this book. And friend, if you have done that, you are blessed tonight. You mightn't have everything this world has or what others have, but if you've Christ tonight, you can put your head in the pillow and say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm blessed." Are you? Are you blessed tonight? Can you say, "Yes, preacher, I'm blessed. I am truly blessed because my transgression's forgiven, my sin is covered." I say amen. Pray for those around you who aren't. Dear sinner, come to Christ tonight. Long in sin you've wandered. Long in sin you've dabbled. But here tonight Christ is calling you. that you might be blessed, and that you might enter through the gates of that city that he's preparing for you. In our closing hymn, we have a word of invitation, hymn 96. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you call upon Jesus tonight? Will you come and pray that the blood would wash away your sin and you will leave this house as one of the blessed? Let's stand and sing this together and remain standing for prayer. Dear believer, are you not glad you're saved tonight? You're not glad your sins have been dealt with? You're not glad you're on your way to heaven? Oh, I trust and pray that God will give us a note of joy and triumph as his people. We have so much to praise him for. Never forget the cross. Never forget what Christ has done. Never forget the blood that was shed and the suffering of our Savior. May we ever live with the cross in view. But if there's some dear man or woman or young person tonight and you're not saved, maybe others think you are. Maybe you made a profession some years ago, but there was no fruit. Friend, tonight you need to get right with the Lord. And the only way that can be done is God's way. And that's by turning away from your sin and calling upon him. If I can be of spiritual help to you, well then please let me know at the door and I will open God's word. I can't save you, but I can show you the promises of the one who can. Friend, what you need to do tonight is bow your head and call on Christ. He will hear the sinner's cry. How do I know? Because he heard mine. He heard many people in this gathering. Come to Jesus tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for a sense of thy presence, and we thank thee, Lord, for the truth of the gospel. We thank thee that our sins can be forgiven. We thank thee, Lord, our sins can be covered. We thank thee that we can be a blessed people walking in the joy of the gospel of Christ. Lord, save the lost, we pray. I know, Lord, there's a mission coming up in a few weeks' time. But, oh Lord, forbid it that someone would go out of this meeting saying, I'll get saved at the mission. Lord, save them tonight. Give deciding grace. Make it difficult to leave this meeting without Christ. Make it difficult for them to put their head on a pillow to go to sleep without the Savior. Oh Lord, draw them effectually, lovingly, and tenderly onto thyself. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise and the honor and the glory, thanking thee for thy blessing in this house this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.